Okay, I'd like you to look at this poster. This is as close as I can get to a representation of the poster that I found on the wall at the Thalia Brennan Retreat Centre on Far West Wales. A few years back, I spent some time at Thalia Brennan. And this was the poster that was on the lounge, the study area there. And it completely mesmerized me, and didn't matter when I spent time in the chapel or spent time out walking or within the grounds, I kept coming back to this particular poster. Of course, I was familiar with the verses of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. But here, reading them in isolation, they somehow captured me. And if you can't make out all of the words here, it says, "Are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." As I said, I was so taken with this, I tried to recreate it, and it now, this recreation now sits somewhat faded above my desk at work. You know, looking back, I think God's been trying to get my attention on this particular subject for some time. I grew up with an unhealthy work ethic. I would, both at work and church, wherever possible, ensure I was first in and last out. See, I needed to be seen to be busy. Busyness was something we needed to do. It's better to be half an hour early than 2 minutes late. That was my mantra, and I guess still is. I still think punctuality is important. But we live in this fast-paced world, don't we? An instant society looking for instant gratification. I wonder how many of you remember when mail order meant having to wait 28 working days for delivery. And now, next day is expected, and many companies are actually working on deliveries within 2 hours to your home. In 1989, Freddie Mercury and Queen sang, "I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now." You know, that seems to be the mantra of society, doesn't it? This instant society. We don't want to wait because we are busy people. We've got lots to do and we've got no time to do it in. I wonder how many of you would recognize a greeting like this. "Hi, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine, fine." You know, just busy, busy, busy. And we seem to take to wearing busyness as a mark of honor or prestige. We are always on. We're ready to be contact, ready to respond to the ping or the ring. And before my wife says anything and unmutes herself, I'm just as guilty as anyone else on this subject. We have a need to be connected. But do we give the time to be connected to God? When Moses was called up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments that we heard about earlier in the video, he went up the mountain and had to wait 40 days before he heard from God. I wonder how long you or I would have waited. I suspect by the end of day one, probably, we'd have said, maybe he's not going to talk. We'll go back. We've got stuff to do, haven't we? During the beginning of this year, Phil Koish recommended a book to me. It's a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Of course, I was too busy to get around to reading it. And then when we went on holiday in May, Salt and Light had their International Leaders Conference. And one of the speakers was Rick Thomas. he used to lead the Salt and Light Church in Worcester. And Rick is now based in Leeds. And he was speaking on emotionally healthy leadership. We were on holiday and didn't see it. But when we returned, Phil Gladwell, who leads Gloucester Church, recommended that we would invest 30 minutes to watch it. We're so glad we did. That 30 minutes was a game changer for Sue and I. And incidentally, if you want to watch it too, although it's geared at leadership, I would thoroughly recommend you watching it. And if you want the link, just let me know. And in his talk, Rick recommended another book. This one is by Dave Smith, and it's called God's Plan for Your Wellbeing. Dave Smith leads the Kingsgate Community Church in Peterborough. So if anyone's got a right to be busy, he has. It's a huge church. But we were so impressed with Rick's talk. We bought this book. It's 50 daily readings, and each one takes no more than 3 or 4 minutes. But it's looking about how we can relax into what God really wants us to be. And we've both been really blessed reading that book. Rick also refers to the book that Phil suggested, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It was first published in the UK in 2019. It's packed full of really helpful information and statistics, but totally God-centered. It helps us to see things as they actually are. And as Andy spoke last week, and if you haven't seen Andy's talk, please do. It was a really good talk. But Andy encouraged us to examine ourselves, to align ourselves with Jesus. So here's just a few snippets from that book. Did you know, for example, the average iPhone user, yeah, average, touches their phone 2,617 times a day? They use it for roughly 2.5 hours a day, and that doubles for millennials or teenagers. These figures apply equally to other smartphones. Now, you see, that data came from 2016. It will only have gone up from there, and it doesn't allow for time on other screens like laptops, tablets, TV. And then another survey found that just being in the same room as your phone, even with it turned off, will reduce your working memory and your problem-solving skills. Our attention span is dropping with each passing year. Some of these statistics just make your mind boggle. But in the year 2000, before the digital revolution, the average attention span was 12 seconds. Now, it's not like we have a lot of wriggle room, the book says, but since then it has dropped to 8 seconds, the average attention span. Now, to put things in perspective, a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. So we are being beaten by a goldfish. The Microsoft researcher Linda Stone, so she works for one of the big IT companies, Microsoft researcher Linda Stone, she said, continuous partial attention is our new normal. And Corrie ten Boom said this: if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Both sin and busyness cut off your connection to God, to other people, and even your own soul. But it doesn't have to be this way, does it? Right back in the beginning of the Bible, Moses, after his time of waiting, we saw again in the video, he's handed the 10 commandments, what we know as the 10 commandments. And right up there at number 4 is this: remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Sabbath, or the principle of rest, was literally set in stone for everyone to adhere to. And now, if God needed to rest after 6 days of creation, how much more do we need to rest and build rest into our timetables? But as the line from that video said, they didn't trust him. They thought they could do a better job of looking after themselves and making themselves happy. But God knew there was no such thing as happiness without him. And it went on to say, I want you to live in a way that shows everyone else what I'm like. In the book, God's Plan for Your Well-being, the author follows the story of Elijah, particularly Elijah's battle with the prophets of Baal through to him going into the wilderness after being told he would be killed by Jezebel. And so he picks up on the parallels with Elijah's journey and our life and our lifestyles, and shows how even at his most despondent, God provided both food and rest for Elijah. The Bible is full of God's principles. If we just look at the Psalms, for example, the Psalms point again and again to us resting, sleeping, abiding with God. Psalm 23 paints an incredible picture, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. In these first three verses of Psalm 23, we see Jesus, the shepherd, providing for our physical need, providing rest, leading us to peaceful locations and renewing our strength. These three verses seem to me to be the very opposite of hurry and busyness. Psalm 46 starts by telling us that God is our refuge and our strength. And then in verse 10, tells us to be still and know that I am God. In Luke 10, we're told the story of Mary and Martha. It says this: as they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand. The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you are fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. Only one thing is essential, and Mary had chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her. And what about the verse we started with, that verse that arrested me on the wall in Aphalia Brennan, Matthew 11, 28 to 30? Maybe these are the words that are more familiar to you. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Of course, this talk is not about doing nothing. It's not an excuse to do nothing. Jesus still referred to having a yoke, a gentle yoke, and a yoke meant work for the oxen as they were plowing. But it was gentle, easy to bear. The burden was light. Andy encouraged us last week to evaluate our lives. What are our priorities? What do we need to change? Anything? My talk is not to try and get you to do more. For those of you who remember Adrian Plassey's books, I remember him wanting to be a far more diligent prayer. He used to write books called The Secret or The Sacred Diaries of Adrian Plass. And in one of the particular episodes, he's so desperate to hear from God and spend time with God and abide with God, he decides to get up an unearthly hour of the morning to pray each day. So he gets up at something like 5 o'clock. And then he's woken up by his family at breakfast time with his head in his toast and marmalade, because he only managed a few minutes before he fell asleep again. You see, we're not to be unreasonable here. We're not to try and do yet more and just cram more into our days. God longs for us to abide with him, to spend our time with Jesus, to rest in him, to give him our best, not what's left. Often when we're worn out, we don't make the best choices, preferring instead fast food, fast TV, looking for likes on our socials rather than being loved by Jesus himself. We miss out on building relationship with loved ones and God himself, who loves to be with us in every moment of every day. I'm reminded of what Tracy said right at the beginning. Her prophetic word about how as we come out of lockdown, there will be all of these pressures on us to build and to hurry and to conform. I hope you would choose to rest in Jesus. Now, if you'd like any information on any of the books or the videos I've referred to, please do let me know and I will forward that information to you. And I'm sure Scroll Eaters would be delighted to order them for you. But now, right now, I'd like you to close your eyes and imagine this scene. I'm going to read Psalm 23, three verses to you. And I want you to imagine in your mind's eye what this looks like for you. The Lord is your shepherd, and he gives you all that you need. He lets you rest in green meadows. He will lead you beside peaceful streams. He will renew your strength. You see, I think God still says to us, I want you to live in a way that shows everyone else what I'm like. He tells us his yoke is light, and he wants to teach us to live freely and lightly. Now, that's a lesson I'd like to learn, and I'm trying. I hope you do too. Thank you for listening. And if I can help you with any of those resources, just let me know. But let's rest in Jesus. Thank you, Graham.